Welcome back to the Bottom Line Blueprint, everyone. You know, we talk a lot about growing your business, finding new opportunities, but today we're diving into something that can often feel like a necessary evil, a bit of a chore, but it is absolutely critical for that healthy bottom line financial reconciliation. And to help us demystify this, I am thrilled to have a true expert with us today, Elsie Roach, founder of Elsie Roach Accounting. Elsie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alan. It's great to be here. I'm excited to talk about reconciliation, even if it does make some people groan. I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, and it's actually incredibly empowering when you get it right.
Empowering? I love that perspective, because honestly, for many small business owners, myself included sometimes, it feels more like a puzzle where half the pieces are missing and you're just not sure where to start. So let's just kick things off with the basics. What exactly is reconciliation, and why is it so non-negotiable for a business?
That's a fantastic question, Alan. At its core, reconciliation is simply comparing your internal financial records. So what you have recorded in your accounting software like QuickBooks Online or Xero, with an independent third-party statement, usually your bank statement or credit card statement. You're making sure every transaction on that bank statement is accounted for in your books, and vice versa. Why is it non-negotiable? Well, it's your absolute best defense against errors, fraud, and really just making bad business decisions. It's like a financial health checkup, ensuring your numbers are accurate and reliable.
So it's essentially ensuring everything matches up, almost like a double check. And I can see how that would prevent errors. But what are some of the common pitfalls you see businesses fall into when they're trying to reconcile, or maybe even avoiding reconciliation altogether?
Oh, there are so many. The biggest one, honestly, is procrastination. People put it off. They think, I'll get to it next week, and then next week becomes next month, and suddenly you're looking at 6 months or even a year of unreconciled transactions. And let me tell you, digging out of that hole is much harder than doing it regularly. Another common pitfall is just not understanding the process. They might see a discrepancy and get frustrated, not knowing how to investigate it. Or they might just blindly check things off without actually verifying them. And then, of course, there's the my books are a mess syndrome, where they just feel so overwhelmed they don't even know where to begin to clean things up.
I think that my books are a mess syndrome resonates with a lot of our listeners. It's like staring at a giant pile of laundry. You just want to walk away. So for those feeling overwhelmed, what's your advice for getting started, especially if they're a bit behind?
Okay, if you're behind, the first thing is to not beat yourself up. It happens to the best of us. The second is to take a deep breath and start small. Don't try to tackle a whole year at once. Pick the most recent month you have a full bank statement for and start there. Work backward if you need to, but focusing on the most current period first means you'll catch new errors quickly. And always, always make sure you have all your statements, bank, credit card, loan statements, easily accessible. That's your primary source document for reconciliation. And be consistent. Even if it's just 15 minutes a week to categorize transactions, that builds momentum.
Consistency is key, absolutely. And using those statements as the primary source makes perfect sense. Now let's get into some specific troubleshooting. What are some of the most common issues you encounter when you're helping a client reconcile their accounts? And how do you usually guide them through fixing them?
The fun part. Okay, probably the most common issue is what we call unreconciled differences. You get to the end of a reconciliation and your balance in the software doesn't match the bank statement. This usually means a few things. One, a missing transaction. Something was on your bank statement but never entered into your accounting software. You'd need to go back and add that in. Two, a duplicate transaction. It was entered twice. You'd then delete one of the duplicates. Three, an incorrect amount. Maybe you paid $100, but it was entered as $10. That's a simple edit. And four, an incorrect date. Sometimes people accidentally put something in the wrong month, which throws off that specific month's reconciliation. The trick is to narrow down the period. If your prior month was reconciled correctly, the error is within the current statement period you're working on. Start by comparing your books line by line to the statement, looking for those discrepancies. It can be tedious, but it's effective.
That's incredibly practical advice. So it's almost like being a detective, looking for those missing pieces or incorrectly placed items. What about those transactions that seem to linger? You know, they're sitting there in your banking feed, but you're not sure how to categorize them, or maybe you don't even recognize them.
Oh, those mystery transactions. Those are a big one. My first piece of advice is don't guess. If you don't recognize it, don't just categorize it as miscellaneous or unknown expense. That really defeats the purpose of accurate books. First, check who the vendor is. Often a quick Google search can clarify what it is. Is it a subscription you forgot about? A one-time purchase? If it's a payment to a vendor, check your invoices or receipts. If it's income, check your sales records. If you still can't figure it out and it's a significant amount, it might be worth calling your bank or credit card company to inquire about it. Sometimes it's a mistake on their end or even a fraudulent charge. And for income, if it's truly unidentifiable, you'll still need to record it as income, perhaps in a deposits unknown source account for now, but really try to trace it. Accuracy here is paramount for tax time and understanding your real revenue.
That's a great point about not guessing, especially for tax purposes. And you mentioned making sure everything is in your books, whether it's an expense or income. What about transfers between accounts? Those can sometimes be tricky for people to categorize correctly, right?
Absolutely. Transfers are a classic source of confusion. The key thing to remember with transfers between your own business accounts, say from your checking to your savings, is that they are not income or expenses. They are simply moving money from one pocket to another. In your accounting software, you need to categorize them as a transfer. If you categorize a transfer out of checking as an expense and then categorize the transfer into savings as income, you're effectively double counting the money or misrepresenting your financial activity. Your total cash might be accurate, but your profit and loss statement will be wildly off. So always look for the transfer option in your software and make sure you link both sides of the transaction correctly.
That's a light bulb moment for a lot of people, I'm sure, because it's so easy to see money going out and automatically think expense. So getting those transfers right is huge for accurate reporting. Now, Elsie, you work with a lot of businesses, helping them get their books in order, sometimes cleaning up what you might call messes. What's the biggest transformation you see in clients once they actually get on top of their reconciliation process?
Oh, the transformation is incredible, Alan. It's truly why I do what I do. The number one thing I see is a massive reduction in stress. Business owners are wearing so many hats, and the financial side can be a huge source of anxiety, especially when they know things aren't quite right. Once we get them reconciled and caught up and they're looking at accurate, clear financial reports, that burden is just lifted. They sleep better. Beyond that, they gain genuine financial clarity. They start understanding where their money is actually going, which services or products are most profitable, and they can make informed, proactive decisions instead of just reacting to emergencies. It's the difference between driving blindfolded and having a clear roadmap.
Driving blindfolded. What a perfect analogy. And I imagine that clarity extends to things like tax season too, right? Because if your books are a mess, tax season can be an absolute nightmare.
Absolutely. It turns tax season from a frantic, stressful sprint into a much smoother process. When your books are reconciled monthly, all your income and expenses are correctly categorized, and you've got all your documentation, your accountant loves you. And more importantly, you're not missing out on legitimate deductions because everything is recorded properly. You're not scrambling to find receipts from 10 months ago. It saves time, it saves money, and it reduces the risk of an audit because you have clean, verifiable records.
That's a huge benefit. Now, for our listeners who are thinking, okay, I get it, reconciliation is important and I want to stay on top of it, what are some daily or weekly habits they can implement to make sure they're not falling behind again?
Great question. For daily habits, if you're using software like QuickBooks Online or Xero, try to just spend 5 to 10 minutes each day categorizing any new transactions that have come in through the bank feed. It's a small task, but it keeps things from piling up. For weekly habits, block out an hour or two. This is where you can review your categorized transactions, ensure everything looks right, chase down any missing receipts, and then, if you're comfortable, do a quick reconciliation of your main bank account. If you aim for monthly reconciliation, then make sure you're doing that on the same day each month, maybe the first few days after your bank statement closes. Set a reminder. It becomes a routine, just like any other business task.
Treat it like a routine, like brushing your teeth for your business finances. I like that. So we've talked about catching up, troubleshooting common issues, and building good habits. What's one piece of advice you'd give to a business owner who feels like they're just completely in over their head and perhaps considering outsourcing their bookkeeping altogether?
If you're feeling completely overwhelmed, honestly, it's okay to ask for help. That's what people like me are here for. Trying to do everything yourself, especially tasks you're not proficient in or don't enjoy, takes away from what you are good at, running your business. A good bookkeeper will not only get your books clean and reconciled, but will also provide you with insights, teach you what you need to know, and help you understand your financial reports. They become a partner in your business's financial health, not just someone who processes numbers. So don't view it as a failure to delegate. View it as a strategic investment in your time, peace of mind, and the accurate growth of your business. The cost of messy books, lost deductions, stress, poor decisions often far outweighs the cost of professional help.
That's such an important perspective, Elsie. It's an investment, not an expense. And for those business owners who are maybe doing their own bookkeeping right now, but they're using, say, a spreadsheet or a very basic system, do you recommend transitioning to a more robust accounting software like QuickBooks Online or Xero?
Absolutely, wholeheartedly. While a spreadsheet might seem sufficient when you're just starting out, it quickly becomes cumbersome and error-prone as your business grows. Dedicated accounting software like QuickBooks Online or Xero is designed specifically for this purpose. They automate so much of the data entry through bank feeds, they make reconciliation much more straightforward with built-in tools, and most importantly, they generate accurate professional financial reports like profit and loss statements and balance sheets at the click of a button. These reports are what you need to truly understand your business's performance. They also integrate with other tools like payroll or time tracking, streamlining your entire financial workflow. It's a game changer for efficiency and accuracy.
So it's not just about simplifying reconciliation, but actually getting a deeper, more accessible understanding of your financial health. That makes perfect sense. Elsie, this has been incredibly insightful. I think you've given our listeners not just guidance, but also a lot of practical troubleshooting tips to tackle this often dreaded task. Before we wrap up, any final thoughts or a single actionable tip you'd like to leave our audience with?
My final thought would be this. View reconciliation not as a burden, but as an opportunity. Each time you reconcile, you're not just ticking boxes, you're confirming the health of your financial operations. You're giving yourself the gift of clarity and control. Make it a regular habit, trust the process, and don't be afraid to seek help if it feels too much. Your business deserves accurate numbers, and you deserve the peace of mind that comes with them.
Fantastic. An opportunity, not a burden. That's a great mantra to live by for business finances. Elsie Roach, thank you so much for joining us on the Bottom Line Blueprint today. It's been a truly valuable conversation.
My pleasure, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Fisfiction. And to all our listeners, remember, your financial foundation is everything. Get those books reconciled, gain that clarity, and build that bottom line blueprint. We'll catch you next time.